Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend, Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend, John Munger.
And as always, we are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our damn heads.
Are we done yet?
No.
We've been doing this
for
longer than I realized. It's been like 3 years.
It doesn't feel like it if you're just new to the podcast because we switched hosting services, so a lot of our back catalog isn't online now.
No, it's on a drive at my house.
Yeah. Just go to Glenn's house and he'll play some over.
Listen to Skyscrapers.
That'd be great. That's not a subtle jab at you. I don't care that they're not up. I'm just trying to
I don't care either.
Proof of concept to our listeners.
I don't care what our listeners want.
Well, you've made that abundantly clear. You fuck.
We'll get them up. There's not an easy way to upload 100 episodes.
No, it's so much
time.
I
got to do
it reminds
one at a time.
Me being in college and stealing music off of Napster and LimeWire and all those. You'd set 400 downloads before you went to bed and you'd wake up and 30 of them will have worked.
I could drop them all into a Google Drive folder and email you the link if you really want the old episodes.
God. Honestly, why is podcast syndication not just a Google Drive folder?
Oh, man. It'd be so much easier.
Oh, my God. Well,
I thought we would be done. I didn't think we would still be doing this 3 years later. I thought we would have finished. I thought we would have hit all of Wikipedia.
No, I did a little research. It turns out people are still making new pages every single
day.
But
they are also deleting pages.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great Twitter account called Deleted Wikipedia Pages.
Right.
And they just post the titles of Wikipedia pages as they get deleted.
You know, somehow no one has created an improvised Wikipedia podcast page yet. I mean, I'm not surprised that you and I haven't, because I've met you and I, and I'm not putting that.
Yeah, we're not good at accomplishing tasks.
But with our international notoriety, I mean, famously, we were trending in the country of Niger for several months.
You
would have
thought somebody in Niger would have done it.
Recently, I forget what country did we recently get a sketchy email about. I think it was you forwarded it to me, I think.
Yeah, it was another weird chart email.
Yeah. So, I mean, hello to all of our friends listening overseas.
Somebody make an improvised Wikipedia podcast Wikipedia page.
Yeah, do it.
Cowards.
Hey, and if you live in a really small country like Vatican City or some shit like that.
It's the smallest one.
Yeah, start listening to us because we can definitely hold down that number one spot.
You think we're going to be the number one podcast in Vatican City? You think the Pope's tuning in?
Do you
Cardinals are going to be
do
like...
Do you think the Pope has a podcast?
Well, you know what?
The Pope doesn't have a podcast, so yeah, it feels like a growth opportunity for us.
We did do a whole episode about Cardinals.
We did, one of our very
first
episodes.
So do you think
episodes?
Maybe they would listen to that one because they
it's
got
possible.
Confused?
It's possible.
We
I'm
did
surprised
say
we haven't gotten the Swiss Guard as a... Because we could roast the Swiss Guard,
yeah.
And I feel like all them church daddies would be like, ho, 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 ho.
They would love it.
They'd love it. That's what they sound like when they laugh.
That is exactly what they sound like.
Oh, God.
So that's the new goal, be the number one podcast in the Vatican City?
Well, I mean, it's the smallest country on earth. I like to set
attainable
goals. I went to
Catholic school.
I did not.
Does that
What's
help?
What's the second smallest country?
I
know, Vatican City and I think Tibet are the countries that don't have
Monaco?
Rectangle flags. I feel like Monaco is bigger than... I don't know. And what's the second largest country? Smallest country, rather. It's a good question. And that's just kind of...
God, if only there was some website that was a repository of all human knowledge.
Right.
That we could look up countries by size.
Interesting.
But that doesn't exist, so...
Nope.
We'll never know.
You know what I did today, though, for our episode recording?
What's that, homie?
I went on the Facebook.com.
Ooh, hate that place.
Yeah, and I made a post, and I changed up what I normally say. And this time, I just straight up asked, what's a topic that you think Glenn Tickle and I know more about than Wikipedia?
Ooh.
Now, we did get quite a few bits, so I don't know that I'll ever use that wording again. In fact, 1, 2, 3.
That's good wording.
So half of the comments so far are some variation of food, which is way too broad as a subject. And honestly, just a scathing analysis of me as just a general fat ass, maybe.
Hey, I know I joked that we would never know the answer, but sir... Pulled up a list of the smallest countries in the world. What's number 2 on that list?
That's Monaco.
Yeah, it is.
That's Monaco. Good job, buddy.
I'm a genius.
I had never even heard of the third one.
No. Who cares? It's so small. Who gives a shit? Nauru?
But like,
that's
why do you know?
That's where.
But why do you know Monaco and not the third smallest one?
Because I did my friend Michael.
Did you do a fucking stand up?
I did my friend Michael Kent's podcast. The internet says it's true, which is similar to our podcast, except he does research on things.
Ah, fuck off.
So he like somebody will tell them an interesting fact that he learned, and he'll like do research on it and then make an episode. Whereas we just don't. We don't do that that
no,
level of work.
It's not the premise of our show.
But it was about gambling, and he talked about Monaco. And I know it's a small country. I know.
I feel like James Bond movies always end up in Monaco.
I think
right?
the first one with Daniel Craig, he's in
Casino
Monaco.
Royale.
I think that's where the Casino Royale is.
Mm. Well, so I got 8 comments. We're going to destroy 4 of them right off the bat because they're just food. And then you're in real life.
Do we not do food?
The concept of food.
Oh,
like it's literally just says food.
4 different people wanted to know about food?
Yeah.
That's hurtful.
No, it's not that they want to know about food. It's just they think that you and I know more than Wikipedia about food. It's just a way of saying we're fat.
Yeah, that's hurtful.
I know.
I mean, you did spend 2 weeks posting about
all
the weird food you were
eating.
That's
my job.
Music Fest.
Yeah, and I did. But so we've got.
If they picked a specific food, it would have worked.
We got 4 usable ones, but one of them is another bit. But I'm going to keep it in the running in case you land on it.
Let's just go number one.
Number one, it's the other bit. Your in-real-life nemesis, her mother, would like us to talk about Ben Youngerman.
I mean
their mother.
There's not a Wikipedia page for him, so it's disqualified.
Yep.
The reason there's not a Wikipedia page for him is because he sucks shit. He's nobody of note. There would be nothing to put on the Wikipedia page. It would need everything would say, "Oh, we need citations," and also this guy sucks too hard. We don't want a Wikipedia page.
Interesting. Let me offer you a counterpoint here. I just spent basically 2 weeks straight with him.
Yeah,
fucking goddamn delight. So much fun. Real nice guy. Real nice boy. I mean, like, I know that you have this weird pact that you made with him, like, probably 10 years ago.
It's so long ago.
I know. It's so long ago.
It's way long. Anytime I think about it, it's way longer than I realized.
Yeah.
It's been going on.
You both identified a need for a nemesis, and you just decided, okay, here we go. But, yeah. So, you got to pick between 1 and 3 now.
1 again.
Okay. Friend of the show, Dan Ford. He's had many, many suggestions.
Yeah.
This is a fun one. Should be relatively short, sweet, to the point. He wants to know about that old VH1 TV show, Pop-Up Video.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Okay, so Pop-Up, I know what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about.
It's not anything anymore.
I don't know a lot about its inception. So basically, they would play music videos, which VH1 and MTV used to do when we were children.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have little, like, pop-up.
Bubbles,
things
like the speech bubbles,
little speech bubbles come up on the screen, and they would tell you a fact about the band or something in the video,
an
interesting tidbit about what the bass player has been up to or whatever.
It was fun. It had a real nice, like, real satisfying pop sound, like boop boop, and it, like, popped up.
Yeah, I mean, since they're playing it over music videos, I could have done without the boop boop in the middle of the song.
I don't know. I don't care about the music video or the music at that point. I want to be infotained.
I think this was a feature when DVDs.
It's like DVD extra. It's like director's commentary, but for a music video, and it's not constant talking.
So there's on the DVD for The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Why?
This is a feature. So there's the director's commentary where the director, WD director, talks again as if Buckaroo Banzai was a real guy who just related the story to him and he was retelling it on film, because WD Richter is a lunatic.
Also, clearly a fake name.
But I think it's from the character's point of view, I believe it's Pinky Carruthers, he had separate files. So there was like a pop-up video style feature you could turn on the DVD to get, like, little facts. Facts about the movie, but then also made up nonsense because they insist that Buckaroo Banzai was a real guy.
I've come to my end with Buckaroo Banzai. I mean, I tried once. I'm willing to give it another try.
Best.
I think I'm going to need, New Jersey's going to have to enact their plan for recreational cannabis usage before I try it again. I think I need that.
That's where the film takes place, most of it.
In the State House of New Jersey as they're starting to implement their recreational cannabis usage.
In New Jersey. It starts in New Jersey.
No, okay.
Or no, it doesn't start in New Jersey.
No, it starts in like the fucking desert. Yeah. I know because I tried watching.
I think it's supposed to be Texas. They're filming it in Utah.
It's supposed to be Texas. It looks nothing like Texas.
It just looks like the desert. I think they just assumed everybody thinks the desert looks the same. I don't know. But then they go to New Jersey for the concert, and then that's where all the stuff happens.
Oh boy. I can hardly control myself.
Yeah.
I almost said I can't hardly wait, and I was like, I'd rather watch that movie.
Rather watch Bucker Banzai than Can't Hardly Wait. Although I do Can't Hardly Wait, pretty good.
Not bad.
It's been a while. There might be stuff that doesn't hold up. Yeah, where I'm like, ooh, that's no good now. Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah. Which was the one rom-com in the like 90s/2000s where the protagonist was like going to a writing seminar taught by Kurt Vonnegut? Was that Can't Hardly Wait? Might have been.
No.
There's one. It was definitely...
Can't Hardly Wait is just a party.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that was it, though. I think that at end of summer, the male lead was going to a writing workshop.
Oh, I thought you meant this is a thing that happens
No. It was like a...
The only thing that happens that's not at the party is when the one character leaves and runs into Dharma dressed as an angel for some reason.
Yeah, I think
I don't really
the same
remember.
Movie. Yeah. Oh, boy. Jenna Elfman? Was that Dharma?
It was. I couldn't remember her real name.
And then Greg was on Criminal Minds, and I think he was a giant asshole we just recently learned. I'm not sure.
Oh, Greg.
Ugh. Oh, boy.
You hate to see it.
What are we talking about?
Man, I know we were talking about how much I hate Ben Youngerman, and then there was a real topic from Dan Ford.
Oh, pop-up video.
Pop-up video.
Pop-up video. If anybody out there is listening and thinks that's a bit, it's not. We legitimately forget what we're supposed to be doing 100% constantly.
Did not remember what we're talking about.
We are not great.
So it started on VH1, let's say 1994.
Yeah, it might be a little early. I'm going to say 95 was in my head.
I'll go with that. We'll go 95.
I definitely remember seeing it.
I didn't want to go too late.
I definitely remember it being on when I was in high school.
I remember it.
So that was like
pre-high school.
Like 97 would have been my.
I graduated
eighth
grade
year.
In 97.
So somewhere between 95 and 98 for sure.
Yeah, let's go 95 because I don't want to go too late with it.
That was like peak VH1 doing actual music, like programming that was interesting. That was like Behind the Music.
Yeah, like, I think. Well, it was because
it was pre Flavor of Love or
they
Rock
really,
of Love, whichever was first. Rock
when
of
they
Love
leaned
first.
Hard on music, they're like, well, we do need to do something to set us apart. From MTV.
Right.
Which will always be the number one. Like, VH1 is always going to be Pepsi to MTV's Coke.
Sure.
But originally when VH1 started, it was, I don't remember the three things. It was like, they're like, we're all about music, second thing, and weather.
Weather?
I'm pretty sure. And then at a certain point, they're like, no one's coming to VH1 for weather. Let's just do music videos
all day. Well, I
mean, I
believe it stands for Video Hits 1, which implies they thought it was going to take off and they were going to have Video Hits 2, Video Hits 8.
Well, MTV added multiple versions, so like it wasn't out of the realm
of
possibility.
Yeah, but I think that was well after.
Do you think
VH1
MTV
existed?
Added MTV2 just because they heard that VH1 thought they were going to get other channels? Like, you
yes,
can go.
I always assumed they were owned by the same company. And like VH1 was just,
I think they might be
had like an older demographic. VH1 had some great hosts.
Well, VH1,
over the years.
I think it did. It was more of like you're gonna get a lot more adult contemporary music videos, like less. I don't know.
I remember the top 20 countdown on the weekends on VH1. I remember people like very funny comedian Alison Becker was a VH1 host.
Was she?
She was. She hosted the video countdown on the weekends.
I know Zach Galifianakis had a short-lived talk show on VH1.
Yeah. Yeah. Is VH1 still a thing, right?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I know MTV is because I was recently in a hotel room flipping through channels.
Okay.
And I can confirm that MTV is still on the air.
That's good.
I don't remember seeing VH1. But I think it's still around.
Probably. Right?
They also used to play a bunch of comedy.
Really?
Like, when we were in middle school, VH1 would be like, all right, from 4 to 6, we're rerunning comedy stuff from...
Well, what makes me think that it's all, like...
The late 80s, Viacom? Early 90s. Would I think it's all owned by Viacom now.
Yeah.
But I don't know if at the time they were both... MTV and VH1 were owned by Viacom.
Yeah.
I mean, but I used to watch a lot of comedy stuff on VH1 when I was a kid.
I don't remember that. I definitely remember Pop-Up Video.
They'd be like, we're just going to rerun the A-list.
I don't understand why they haven't brought back Behind the Music yet. Like, it was so great. And now, like, Netflix is doing other stuff. Like, I forget what they have, like, that song exploder thing that they're doing. Where I'm like,
yeah,
well, this is basically...
We started as a podcast.
Yeah, this is basically Behind the Music about one song.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, the artist's, you know, career. But, like, I feel like the nostalgia of
Rishi
Behind
K. Haraway,
the Music...
He's the host of it?
I don't know.
I believe.
I just feel like it's there. I don't understand what the holdup is. Why have they not either sold it off to Netflix or Hulu or... You know what I mean? Like, there's an audience for that, for sure. Not so much Pop-Up Video, because I don't think bands are producing music videos at the same rate that they once were. But that even could be coming back with
I think
YouTube and TikTok.
They absolutely are.
How is TikTok?
What are you talking about?
Are you doing any like stand-up comedy videos?
Yeah.
Are you doing any of your skits? Because you're borderline TikTok famous.
Somebody, when Drybar posted a clip, and... More than, I would say, 6 people in total were like, I love this skit. This is a great skit. This skit is very funny.
It's a good skit. I love your skits.
And every time I wanted to reply, I chose not to reply, or yeah. I would just say thank you. And
yeah. My For You page on TikTok has recently decided that I need more of you in my life. And I was like, oh, TikTok, you are so wrong. But I will interact with this regardless.
Sure.
Even though I have heard this specific joke 100 times because he is my friend and I have seen this. It's not a criticism of you. It's like, TikTok, I know. I get it. His name really is Tickle.
It's true. I put one up the other day for my shows at Wisecrackers last week, three weeks ago.
Is it notable that since you stopped trying to go TikTok live while we're recording these shows?
I forgot.
But your content is doing better.
It dipped for a while.
Yeah.
And then, well, because the only clips that would like reliably do big numbers.
Bunny Rabbit Baby.
It's from my album recording.
Oh, wow.
Those would like... Almost always, I can throw that up, and it gets, like, a couple tens of thousands of views. Anything else, total crapshoot. Sometimes I post a video of my rabbit, it gets 3 million views. Sometimes I post a video of my rabbit, it gets 10 views. I don't know.
We got to get you, like, a clip that's just like, hey, thanks for watching this clip for my album special. I recorded this 4 years ago. I've got better stuff now. Here's how you follow me.
Yeah. I try putting newer stuff up, and there's usually no... Yeah. But the one I did a newish bit... from the shows a couple weeks ago, and it's doing... We're coming up at about 27,000 views on that.
What
so
lovely, what a lovely brag.
Pretty
I like
solid.
That. I like that.
And I have a bunch more clips I can make from that video, which is nice. Because I'm out of clips from my album recording that I can convert to one-minute TikTok clips. Because I can put three-minute videos up, but there's a weird glitch in the way TikTok licenses music where I can't put... a clip that's longer than 1 minute if
right.
it's from my album.
Huh.
Because they're paying to use the songs,
right.
but only up to a minute. And it doesn't differentiate between music and comedy. It's just...
That's weird.
Whatever
I don't
files
think,
they get through
like, DistroKid. Like, pop-up video format would not work for stand-up comedy. It would be too distracting. Like, the pop-up would have to be in between jokes if you're, like, taking a sip
so
of
Dimitri
water.
Martin did a special... The Overthinker, I think it was called, mm-hmm. where there's a voiceover to it.
I'm actually familiar with that, yeah.
And there's also, like, he seemed to know that was the plan
right.
doing the set. Like,
right.
there's a lot of quiet moments in between jokes.
Sure. Well, and I think Bo Burnham does a lot of stuff, too, with, like, pre-recorded kind of, like, wink at the format.
Was there any pop-up video stuff in Inside?
No? I don't remember. I don't think so.
I don't know.
You and I aren't creative enough or nostalgic enough to want to tackle pop-up video as a.
I just remember that it existed. Like, yeah. I don't think it had a host. I think it just started.
It did not.
Said, this is pop up video. There was like a logo in the corner.
It was like pop up video. It had like a jingle.
They would be like interstitials as they would go to commercial, mm-hmm. but there wasn't like a host. It's not like Alison Becker hosted pop up video.
No.
She should have.
She should host more things.
Big fan. But yeah, it would just be like fun facts. How long did it run? 95 to win. When did they kill it?
They killed it whenever they started leaning into like Flavor of Love and the Bret Michaels Rock of Love.
2005?
I think a little bit earlier than that.
1995 to 2003. I think they brought it back at one point.
Probably.
But then nobody cared because everybody's just watching stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that actually, did they kill it when they started doing the I Love the 80s and like all their all of their comedy shows that they started doing of like nostalgia based or like what was the one that they did in real time, like Best of the Week or something like that?
Best Week Ever,
right? Like did that might have been the end of pop-up video, because that I think predated those reality dating shows.
No.
I think I really do think it was probably like Behind the Music pop-up video, then the I Love the Blank and Best Week Ever, and then it was the Bret Michaels dating show.
When they stopped showing blocks of 80s stand-up comedy.
That's when you tuned out?
I kind of lost interest entirely in
VH1.
Because I am not now, nor have I ever been a big music fan.
Sure, with kinda, one exception, Harvey
Danger.
I kind
of just want to listen to Harvey Danger all the time. I feel like Harvey Danger probably got roughly equal play on MTV and VH1.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they weren't too hardcore cutting edge for VH1's slightly older
audience.
And
it was only Flagpole Sitta, really.
That was the big hit. They did videos for Private Helicopter.
But I don't think that broke through onto VH1, though, like Flagpole Sitta would've.
I think if it was going to, it would have done it on VH1 instead of MTV.
You think?
Their other videos. Huh. Authenticity was on the Saving Silverman soundtrack. I don't know if they did a video for it.
Is that the one? Is Saving Silverman the one where they have a cover band? A Neil Diamond cover band. Saving Silverman does not get enough credit. I enjoy that film.
Where Jason Biggs falls in love with Amanda Peet.
And then they take her hostage.
Jack Black and the other guy.
The other guy that's been in a lot of stuff. Yeah. Not Steve Zahn, is it?
It might have been Steve Zahn.
Yeah. Saving Silverman does not get enough love.
I remember watching it. I don't remember if I liked it or not.
I did.
When I heard Authenticity and go, oh, I know this song.
No, I enjoyed it.
Harvey Danger did a music. Oh, see, this probably didn't get a lot of play in VH1 because it was for the MTV Films movie 200 Cigarettes, where Harvey Danger did a cover of Save It for Later by the English Beat. Mm-hmm. And they like edited scenes of the band doing stuff into scenes from the movie.
Interesting.
It's a good video.
You seem to be more well versed in music
stuff about Harvey Danger than I am.
Well, no, me like
pop-up
you know
video.
You dropping the English beat. Like, do you know that only because of Harvey Danger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I know they played at ArtsQuest
a couple
of years ago,
many moons ago.
I only took note of that because I know that Harvey Danger covered one of their songs.
Fair. Well, shit. I don't have anything else to talk about as it relates to pop-up video. It's very straightforward.
Fine. It's a good
idea. The bubbles were like almost like text message bubbles.
Yeah.
You know?
As a guy who's not super into most music or watching music videos, having an additional layer of them telling me interesting stuff.
Well, and there's so many bad music videos out there that like having that extra layer actually kept me more interested than like this video is stupid and
I
don't care about this
song. I'm in favor of it. I know if like your cable channel has like music channels that you can just like turn on the country and just plays country. They have a similar
like
thing.
Like the facts, like the
where
did
they
you
will
know
like,
stuff, yeah.
But it's not a music video. It's just like a picture of the artist, song title, album name, and then just like a slow scroll of facts about them where it's like I would say generally less interesting stuff.
I do like the idea, though, and I don't want to bring up your favorite movie anymore, but I like the idea of it as like an extra feature for films because I could imagine watching like Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy with a pop-up video style thing on top of it.
I think I'm here for that. I don't think it took off in popularity the way like a director's commentary as a feature did.
Right. Well, and I don't know that those are only popular for like people in film school.
For me specifically.
Even though I would like to know about the behind the scenes stuff of Lord of the Rings, I'm not watching those movies with the director's commentary on. But if it popped up on screen, I didn't have to do anything, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah,
I'd be there for it.
I watched anything with a director's commentary when I was in college. I would watch.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. What a gift for people in film school.
The movie. Oh God.
Saving Silverman.
No. What's the one where Carrot Top did a director's commentary?
What? Was he the director?
Rules of Engagement.
Oh, fun.
Maybe.
Yeah.
With Dawson.
Huh.
It's based on a book by the same guy who wrote American Psycho.
Okay.
I think. Because I think in the movie, somebody briefly calls their older brother Patrick, and that's supposed to be Bateman. And it's like his little brother in college, I think, is Dawson. But they got Carrot Top to do the director's commentary without having ever seen the movie. He was not involved in the film.
I kind of want to like steal. I mean, isn't that just Mystery Science Theater, but focused on kind a specific
of
thing?
They're just like, hey, just watch it. Just talk over this movie.
Yeah. And, it's kind of fun. I would do that.
The movie itself, I don't really remember that much about. I do remember we watched it with the Carrot Top commentary once. I was like, this is incredible.
Well, it's funny, like MST3K, a lot of people assume incorrectly that they're like, oh, they're just ripping on this movie that they're seeing for the first. Like, no, they watch it
so many times.
And I mean, the amount of work that goes into those shows is incredible.
There's a lot of writing that goes into MST3K.
For like silly bad jokes.
Yeah.
That we all love. Like, I adore them. But like,
huge fan.
Holy God.
Yeah. You have to watch bad movies over and over and over again. But yeah, but like Carrot Top wasn't making fun of it. He starts, he's like, I don't know why they asked me to do this, but they paid me, so here I am. He would just like
respect
casually describe what's happening on screen. The thing I don't understand is why every movie ever released on DVD after that didn't also get Carrot Top to do a commentary.
It's true. It's a good question. Well, good news for you, listeners. If you find a way to listen to this episode of the Improvised Wikipedia podcast on a video player, you will get pop-up video style feedback from Carrot Top. We did use our ad revenue to date. We all know we sell our ads for $8. We did use that to get Carrot Top to write some pop-up video behind the scenes content, but you have to listen to this podcast on a video player.
Gotta,
I'm not going to tell you how to do that.
No,
so
way.
Good luck.
You figure it out.
You figure
it out.
We're
not your mom.
And if you do get it into a video player and it's not working, that's probably your fault and not ours. Don't at me.
You do have to have it playing on a TV that's tuned to VH1. That's the only way it'll work.
All right, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll pull up the official Wikipedia page for pop-up video and see how we did.
Oh, yeah.
Boo-boo-boo.
Boo-boo. Hey, John.
Hey, Glenn.
It's me, your friend Glenn.
I know. I said, hey, Glenn.
I know. We're here to do an ad read, which we love to do because capitalism rules.
You know it.
Yay.
I can't wait to get more money that ultimately I'm going to basically light on fire.
Hooray.
Will I need to snake a drain in my basement? Probably. I'll do that thanks to money.
Should I have a snake I should have brought over?
Yeah, I'm not doing it myself. If I do it myself and something breaks, it's my fault.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to do it.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's the problem.
It might not be. It might not help.
So, who are we talking about today?
That is a great question. This week's episode of the Improvised Wikipedia is brought to you by hand augers.
Oh, I do.
Some people call them snakes.
Yeah?
But the proper plumber term for it is a hand auger.
Right. They do make power augers.
Yeah,
you can
attach a lot of them to like your hand drill.
Yeah, and then at that point, is it still a hand auger? Because it's a hand drill that you've hooked a hand auger
up
to.
That is true.
So is it a hand auger, and then the double hand negates it?
I don't know. The Manos hands of augers.
Oh, my God. What a great deep cut reference to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
So you get it in there. Is your hole all plugged up? cram an auger in there and then just swirl it around.
Make sure it's not a body hole first. It is not good for body holes.
Or, you know, live your life. Don't let John tell you what to do with your holes.
All right, well.
It is coiled up metal and would probably not feel good. But, you know, make your own choices.
Yeah, if you're into that kind of thing. Sue Glenn.
You cram it in the hole and you spin it around. And then if, like, the pipe bends, when you spin it, that's how it bends around the pipe.
Yeah.
Because it, like, you just cram it in there until it doesn't go in anymore.
Sure.
And you really just spin the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you pull it back a little bit and then you just cram it back down in there.
And spin some
and
more.
You spin it some more. Spinning is key.
Right.
And then you're ideally, it's going to grab onto whatever it is that's plugging your holes.
Yeah.
And then when you pull it out,
hey-o.
Hey, there's that thing that was plugging your holes.
Huh. Do we have a promo code? Because I could actually use one of these.
Yeah, Nasty Holes.
At Nasty Holes?
Yeah, use Nasty Holes for 18% off hand augers.
And we're back. Hey, before we dive into the pop-up video Wikipedia page, just a reminder, you too can advertise on this podcast. Help Glenn and I be fully functioning adults and
yeah,
give us
and
$8.
If you don't, you're a bad person.
It's only $8. Find us online.
Give us your money. Because we'll capitalism.
So I have in front of me the official Wikipedia entry for VH1's pop-up video. Pop-up video is a VH1 television show that shows music videos annotated via pop-up bubbles, officially called Info Nuggets. I love that.
Solid name.
Oh, my God. Containing trivia and witticisms relating to the video in question. The show was created by Woody Thompson and Tad Lowe and premiered October 27th in what year?
1995?
1996.
Ooh.
For a
so
time,
close.
It was the highest rated program on VH1, though Behind the Music overtook it by 1998, originally produced by Spin the Bottle Inc. and later by iBoogie Incorporated during its original run. In 2011, pop-up video was revived by VH1, featuring new videos and new trivia and new commentary. The show's pioneering use of pop-up bubbles to provide additional information about what is happening on screen has seen many imitators, parodies, and spinoffs, as well as some officially licensed spinoffs, including Pop-Up Video UK. That's the end of the top section there, bud.
I looked up the Wikipedia entry for just VH1.
Yeah.
You were right about Video Hits 1.
Okay.
It does reference it as a sister station to MTV, so I think they are owned by the same thing. We were right about it appealing to an older audience. That was their goal. I'm trying to find the thing about weather. Let's see if I remembered that correctly. And I don't see it.
Yeah.
So I might not be right about something, so I'm going to be depressed about it for
That's
the rest
okay.
of the day.
The pop-up video page is a lot of bullshit kind of like history of stuff. None of it's particularly interesting, but there is a section called controversy. Let's dive in.
Ooh, wait, before we dive in. In 1991, a popular morning program was introduced called Hits, News, and Weather that ran from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., later expanded to 10 a.m.
There you go.
I think that's what I was thinking of.
Controversy.
Controversy?
Artists such as Billy Joel, Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers, and The Police, as
oh,
well as...
Oh, man, you got to think Jacob Dylan's going to hate this
oh,
thing.
Oh, my God.
Interrupting
man.
His brilliant music,
oh,
like
boy.
The great cover of Heroes he did on the Godzilla soundtrack.
One of the least enjoyable live bands I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, least enjoyable. Because there's potential there.
Seems like a grumpy boy,
yeah,
Jacob Dylan.
He came off like a grumpy boy. Okay, as well as others such as director Mark Pellington and Sony Music Entertainment president Tommy Mottola complained about what they perceived as harsh treatment on the show, and the videos in which they were featured were pulled.
Do you think like I don't think the pop-ups were. No, I don't think it ever popped up and was like, this song sucks shit.
Yeah, no. And honestly, it doesn't elaborate onto what the harsh treatment was.
There's a pop-up. Hey, did you know Jacob Dylan sucks and will never be as good as his dad?
Yeah, like literally, like, and then it says,
I don't think that was one of them.
And then it says, in contrast, some artists, including Joan Osborne and Paula Abdul, made appearances on the show to provide further information on their videos. Yeah, like that would be the way to do it.
I would be pro if I was thing. In a, if we were in a band,
yeah,
if we were in the Longer Tickle Experience,
which we are now,
and people were putting fun bits of trivia over our music video for our song, Hand Auger, then I'd be in, unless it was not correct.
Right. Well, I'm I'm very interested to see the next.
If the pop-up said, John and Glenn wrote this song after Glenn's basement flooded and John brought over a hand auger to help him fix it.
Right.
Then I'd be mad. I'd be like, no, the opposite of that happened. I don't even have a basement. I live on a ranch home on a slab.
Yeah. I have a really exciting sentence to read to you.
Can't wait.
Because it just once again shows how in tune we were with the subject matter. Pop-up video is most frequently compared to the contemporaneous television programs Beavis and Butthead and Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, that's right. Beavis and Butthead used to talk over like metal videos.
They were both known for their on-screen commentary ridiculing music videos and films. Yeah. These shows are often described as TV for people who are sick of TV. And pop-up video has also been called a show for people who hate videos.
So kind of like what I said about me not liking music that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like fun facts presented to me in bubbles.
Mm-hmm. Which like...
Or nuggets.
Which
or whatever they call
them.
Yeah,
nuggets. They go on into this like derivatives and parody section, which like this feels like a lot to me. Like they're claiming that like Pawn Stars employs the use of pop-up style notes while explaining the... That's just a fucking Chiron. That's like
that's the
news. Like pop-up video doesn't get credit for that.
No.
Like stop this.
Absolutely
this is a
not.
Thirsty page. This page is like pop-up video is responsible for some of the greatest things in popular
for all
culture.
Words on screen.
Yeah, fuck off.
You know how there's title cards in the Charlie Chaplin film The Kid? Pop-up video invented those, and Charlie Chaplin better pay up VH1 right now.
So
he owes him that kid.
Shows in the 2000 that took on episodes to do pop-up trivia style-wise include in 2001, Nick at Night created Pop-Up Brady, where they played the Brady Bunch.
Oh, I remember this.
Nicktoons in 2010 released a pop-up video style format for all 61 episodes of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
That sounds like a lot of work to watch.
In 2014, HGTV did House Hunters Popped, featuring families looking to purchase a home while trivia questions and facts pop up on the screen.
They use that quite a bit.
Yeah.
As someone who's married to a person who watches a lot of HGTV.
Sure.
A lot of shows will feature... I'll say that these are more pop-up video style than like Pawn Stars.
Okay.
Because they'll be like
the average home value in Pasadena ranges from blah 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 to blah blah blah, and they're not actually really talking about that, but like it's beautiful.
Like Pawn Stars, a guy will be like, "Hey, I have a sword. Can you tell? Like, will you give me $8,000 for this sword?" And then the pop up is like, "It's this sword from this time. It sells for about this much at auction." And the guy's like, "I'll give you $5. Get the fuck out of my store."
Right.
And then he pantses the guy and stabs him to death with the sword.
I really do
love that guy
show
because
the guy on Pawn Stars of the pantsing.
It's very mean.
Yeah,
it's very mean to the people trying to.
So good. I don't even care that the show's fake. I love watching people get pants and then stab.
Yeah.
That's the end of the page. Like there was some boring shit about
not
like,
a
the
lot
creators,
on that page. I feel like we hit the kind of the general tone.
Honestly, after a vacation, I was expecting us to be rusty, but like after
no, we're
last
still
week's
great
episode,
at this.
Like we're still crushing it.
We're still real good at doing Wikipedia.
Yeah,
better
find
than Wikipedia,
us on social
though.
Media, become our friends, and you too can suggest a topic, and maybe it'll be interesting, and you can also buy an ad from us.
Hey, if you want to hear me on a different podcast that's not this one,
I only ever want to hear you on this podcast.
I was just on the latest episode of Contrivance, a show where they talk about different inventions and how they came to be and different versions of those inventions, and they rate them. They were talking about satire publications.
Oh.
In this episode.
How very topical for you.
I
someone
know.
Who just wrote a satire publication.
So I talked about Jerk the Magazine. I was all ready to talk about how we have air conditioning because of Judge Magazine.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot.
Oh, that's too bad. Would have been a real nice plug for this podcast. Thanks for nothing, you garbage troll.
I was like, that was my big fact that I was ready to drop going into the episode.
You know my big fact that I would have dropped is I was recently at Target and at the register... They were selling new editions of Mad Magazine, and I was shocked to find out that Mad Magazine still pumps out things. It was a special edition making fun of Star Wars, so I don't think they're doing it on the reg.
No.
But still.
I was going to say, it went under.
Still. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I saw that same special edition at a Barnes & Noble like a year ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because Mad Magazine came back for a while.
Right. And everyone was like, yeah, we don't need this anymore.
They put out really good work. I got the subscription to the revived Mad Magazine after they did, it was like an Edward Gorey style ways that a bunch of kids die, but it was all like school shootings. And so it was, really like that sounds gross. Really well done in terms of using satire to
dig
deal with
out of this whole
a difficult
it,
topic.
Do it.
But yeah, I think it went under like the end of 2019.
Yeah. No, I mean,
they
like,
stopped putting out new stuff. So yeah, I mean, they might put out like collections of stuff they already have, but they're not producing any new.
I was shocked to see a Mad Magazine at the register.
I got a bunch from the last run.
Yeah.
I remember the month that it was.
The thing is, though, like, they don't, there's not a market for that because, like, humor websites like the Humor Weekly have completely decreased.
I killed Mad Magazine.
You killed Mad Magazine is what you want to say.
Yeah, because they didn't put a lot of their stuff online.
No, almost none of it.
Yeah, like, I think that Edward Gorey thing went online, or how would I would have found it?
I don't know.
Yeah, but they didn't put a lot of the stuff online. They're like, you have to read paper, like the 1900s.
Well, if you liked this episode, it was all because of Glenn and I. If you disliked it, go tell Dan Ford to fuck off. It was his fault.
It's his fault.
Do you have anything to plug above and beyond that other podcast you were on?
I was on Contrivance. It was a lot of fun. I made Jerk the Magazine. My Dry Bar special, The Favorite, is out, and you can use Glenn Tickle as a promo code to get a free month. August 27th, I'm doing a show at Invertase Brewing in Phillipsburg.
Sweet. It's a charity gig.
It's a charity gig for Family Promise of Warren County. And September, the first weekend of September, I'm going to be at the Omaha Comedy Festival. Sometime later in September, I'm going to be in D.C.
Wonderful.
And then in November, I'm going to be a bunch of places around Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we'll update your website, glenntickle.com.
Yeah,
it's
I got to
take Glenn with one N.
Still got to take Music Fest off of there.
They do it. You know, you can check me out at johnlunger.com. I just posted. You can watch 11. I don't think they're 30 minutes each because the commercials are cut out of them. But you can watch the live lead-in shows that I filmed for Every Day of Music Fest. Chock full of information that's no longer relevant because the festival's over. But some fantastic interviews with some great bands like Catbite out of Philadelphia. Our mutual friend, very funny, Roya Hamadani, came on and talked about what she's up to, promoting her show too. But you could just watch those. They're on YouTube. You can find it at johnlunger.com. I'm unaware of any current bookings that I have, so just
nice.
go watch that. It'll make me feel good. And you'll be filled with information you can't use.
If you are ever a time traveler.
We're all traveling through time,
you can go
baby.
Back in time, listen to that episode, and then go back in time and then use all that great information about what snacks to get.
Let's put a button on this episode. If you were going to leave a joke or a prank on the official pop-up video page, what would you do?
That Jacob Dylan didn't like pop-up video because when they did the pop-up video for One Headlight, they said that it's because he's never going to be as good as his dad.
Yeah, his dad would have written two headlights.